I don't know about you, but when we turn the corner from summer to the autumn season, I get reinvigorated with cool, brisk weather and feel ready to tackle all sorts of projects around the home and the yard and here at church as well. And yet, there's so much to do. So what could be better than a good to-do list? Here's the list I developed last weekend for what I want to get accomplished at home this fall. Move shrubs, redo some gardens, trim and prune shrubs, pick and freeze peaches, detail the cars, break the pile of branches to make room for the coming autumn leaves, divide and transplant perennials, pick and freeze peaches, power wash the house and deck, dig out Pachysandra, clean and organize the garage, replace parts on the gas grill, do some exterior trim painting, pick and freeze peaches. So much to do, so much to get accomplished. And isn't it true with the work of the Christian and the work of a faithful community like First Church, which seeks to be obedient to God and seeks in its heart to follow Jesus? And so with the start of this new church year, what better time to come up with our to-do list? As individual persons of faith who will walk out these doors this morning, but also as a community of faith, which we lovingly call First Church. And what better place to look than the Bible for the list of our chores that we're called to do as people of faith? But wait a minute. Can they really be called chores? Because we all know that nothing, absolutely nothing, did you hear me? Nothing gives us a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of accomplishment, and a greater sense of purpose than to tackle and check off a biblical to-do list.
You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Let mutual love continue. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and you visited me." So Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And if one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly with one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors, forever and ever. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
As many of you know, a special summer place for me is the Chautauqua Institution in Western New York State. a place of lectures and lifelong learning, swimming, boating, the performing arts, bike rides, a great place for anyone interested in rest, renewal, and recreation. It has also been a special place for my daughters, Meg and Emily, who grew up there for about a week each summer, and at a very young age joined hundreds of other children at a day camp at the institution so the parents could head off and take advantage of the myriad of programs and activities. And at a very young age, it was safe for Emily and Meg to walk or bike ride to the summer camp. And one of the routes took them and the other children across what is affectionately called Thunder Bridge, a pretty long and substantial structure across an otherwise impassable deep gorge or ravine. Thunder Bridge has been a very special place for generations of children who finally have the summertime memory of the thunder-like sounds as packs of eager bicyclists rode across the bridge on their way to camp. Well, my morning stroll around Chautauqua grounds would often bring me to the bridge as they would arrive for the 9 a.m. start at camp by the lake. Like the bell at the end. You see, for thousands of visitors to Chautauqua each summer, young and old, Thunder Bridge is a source of great joy, fun, and beauty in the woods. And for the children at Chautauqua, Thunder Bridge is a joy-filled memory of a carefree bike ride to summer camp. But for children in other parts of the world, a bridge can actually be the difference between life and death. More than 13 years after his parents drowned in a flash flood, David Kukuko is at a river in Kenya building a bridge that might have prevented their deaths. The hanging footbridge will provide safe passage over that river, a frequently traveled but flooded waterway in western Kenya. Beside the bridge, Kakuko said, and before that bridge, there were so many people who lost their lives. I know because I lost my parents. I have no parents because the river took them. Well, Kakuko and other local residents are now working with Harmon Parker, a master mason who has been building bridges across Kenya's mountainous terrain since 1997. Parker is a Lexington, Kentucky native who came to Kenya in 1989, and he has seen firsthand how flash floods and the threat of predators like crocodiles and hippos can make rivers impassable in isolated communities. I've worked all over Kenya, said Parker, and every community has a story of a loved one lost. When Parker arrived in Kenya years ago as a young missionary, he befriended a fellow development worker who introduced him to bridge building. That experience changed the course of his life. It was a plea from the community, Parker recalled. I saw that building a bridge could change lives and transform communities. Well, Parker has been building bridges ever since, and in 2003, he founded the nonprofit organization Bridging the Gap. Bridging the Gap oversees the building of bridges that not only save lives, but connect isolated villagers to resources that can improve their way of life. When it floods, Parker said, people really suffer not being able to get to the health clinic or the market or to their school. Like every people, they have dreams. They want to prosper. Avery Bang also wants to see communities prosper, and she has also seen that building bridges can transform communities and change lives. Avery Bang also believes that it shouldn't be this hard for children to go to school. Avery is a 36-year-old engineer and executive director of a Denver-based international nonprofit called Bridges to Prosperity. Born in Iowa, Avery studied abroad at the island of Fiji, and it was there that she had her eureka moment. One of the communities had recently opened a footbridge project, she recalled, and I was able to see firsthand how a simple bridge was transforming their everyday world. People could get to the doctor, to schools, and to markets they could never have reached before. Building bridges became both a passion and a purpose for me. David Parker also finds, obviously, a passion and a purpose in his bridge building. Since 1997, Parker has built 45 bridges in Kenya. He estimates that they have affected maybe tens of thousands of lives, but he insists that his work is more than about the numbers. He said, "I have built many bridges in very remote areas for the few and the needy that a larger organization might not consider. Knowing this bridge will probably save at least one life is what makes me tick. I build bridges because I want to save lives, lives that I will never know about." Opening our doors to welcome all people to this place of peace and grace, and then building metaphorical bridges of hope and love to actually maybe save a life or two. Maybe this is what makes First Church tick. Maybe this explains our passion and our purpose. I'd like to explore this thought just a little bit farther. Another learning I had at Chautauqua this past summer comes from the tradition of African-American preaching. I learned that it is not only appropriate for preachers from that tradition to repeat stories in their sermons, it is expected that the best stories get repeated over and over again. So I'm going to repeat a story I gave on this Sunday, I think it was about 8 years ago. Some of you might remember it, because it seems to be a fitting story for all that our nation and our world are now confronting. And it expresses the importance of First Church's long and well-established mission of opening doors, the doors of our hearts and of our church, and building bridges of compassion and inclusion, outreach and hope. It's a story of the white preacher of Italian descent, Tony Campolo, and he tells how he once participated in a preaching competition at his African-American church where he has his membership. Well, Reverend Campolo humbly tells how he preached the perfect sermon and how he had taken the congregation to the heights of glory. As Campolo sat down beside his pastor, a distinguished and greatly revered African-American minister, Tony patted him on his knee and simply said, "Top that, my friend." Well, the old pastor stood up, looked at Campolo and said calmly, "Boy, sit back and watch the master." And for the next hour, this preacher was the master. And his sermon was built around these words, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And it really was a simple sermon, starting softly and then building in volume and intensity until the entire congregation was completely involved. It went something like this. It's Friday. Jesus is beaten, mocked, and spit upon. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are hiding, and Peter is denying that he knows the Lord. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus has been crucified and is dead on a tree. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and some people look at the world and say, you can't change nothing. They just don't know that it is only Friday, and Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and them forces that oppress the poor and keep people down, them forces that destroy people, they just don't know it's only Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and some people are saying darkness is going to rule, and dark and sadness is going to be everywhere. They just don't know it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. So he carried on. And then at the end of the message, the pastor shouts out, it's Friday! And the congregation responds,
it's Friday!
It's Friday! It is Friday. And in this beloved family of faith, we are bodies broken by cancer and disease, addiction and old age. We have heavy or broken hearts, broken families, broken minds, broken dreams, broken spirits. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday, and in this richest nation in the world, 1 in 5 children today live in poverty. It is Friday because 1 in 5 children in this great nation are without adequate food, health care, education. And throughout this nation, in this world, children are abused, neglected, overworked, bought, and sold. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and in this nation, we still see torch-carrying white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and members of the KKK espousing words of hatred, bigotry, homophobia, anti-Semitism, yelling out words like, Jews will not replace us. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and every 3 days, another 20 children under the age of 18 die from gun violence. That's every 3 days, all year long, another Newtown because of our nation's obsession with guns. And every day, 22 more war veterans commit suicide. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday because there are far too many states which still have no anti-discrimination laws to protect our gay, lesbian, transgender sisters and brothers. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday when God's amazingly beautiful yet oh-so-fragile creation is threatened by the truly catastrophic and deathly effects of global warming and the fake news hoax attitude of climate deniers denies the very existence of this planet as we know it and threatens the lives of our children and grandchildren. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and there are people in this family of faith who are lost, alone, struggling, out of work, grieving, and in despair. But Sunday's coming. And finally, it's Friday when we retreat from our nation's inspiring heritage of welcoming the immigrant, the refugee, and the dreamers who bring such richness to the melting pot of this nation. These immigrants, these refugees, these strangers have truly made America great again and again and again. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. But I have news for you. Sunday isn't coming, Sunday is here. And look out, world, for we are here, First Church is here, and we have already been busy for 324 years with our biblical to-do list. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will give us greater joy, a greater sense of accomplishment, and a greater sense of passion and purpose than checking more things off that to-do list. Friends, out there in this world, it may be Friday, and far too often it is Friday in our own lives and in the lives of those we love. But Sunday is coming, and this is our day. This is our day to say that every child of God is welcome to this place of peace and grace, this place where we all are safe to laugh or sing or shed a tear. This is our day to open our hearts, open our doors, and to build some even more wonderful bridges, and perhaps even life-saving bridges, to one another and to God's children who are in need. And so, friends, let us go forth from this place with our hearts full and strong and uplifted. Let us go forth from this place to build bridges of hope, bridges of peace, bridges of justice, bridges of inclusion, bridges of compassion, and bridges of love.
Jesus reaches out his hand to lift.